Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, inhabit the words I speak and the words we hear. Amen.
Amen.
There is so much going on in today's gospel reading. In typical Mark's gospel style, the author packs loads of action and content into remarkably few words. It is still early days in Jesus' ministry. He has just preached in the synagogue, where he surprised his listeners with his authoritative teaching. He cast out a demon while he was there, a demon who was quick to recognize Jesus and proclaim his identity as God's Holy One. Jesus tells the demon, "Be quiet," just as in today's passage we hear that he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. These stories are a mysterious mixture of Jesus' power being revealed and demonstrated and hushed up and hidden away. News of Jesus' healing abilities and his power over demons travels fast. The size of the gathering crowds are a testament to the enormity of suffering, clamoring for Jesus' attention and healing touch. Today's passage begins with another healing story, that of a woman, Simon's mother-in-law. There is so much in this short story that illustrates the position of women in the society in which Jesus lived. Notice that Simon's mother-in-law is nameless. She's referred to only in terms of her legal and familial ties to a man, Simon. Notice that the house where she lives, the home presumably abandoned by Simon and Andrew when they dropped everything to follow Jesus, is not described as her home, but the house of Simon and Andrew. Notice that when she is healed, she at once resumes her domestic duty of tending to the needs of the men, waiting upon them. Notice the lack of any mention of Simon's wife. For Simon to have had a mother-in-law, he must presumably have been married. Where is his wife? Was she there too? Some commentators have tried to redeem this text from its patriarchal overtones. They've pointed to Simon's mother-in-law as a shining example of discipleship, depicting her service as ministry. They relate it to Jesus' saying about the Son of Man, who came not to be served, but to serve. This reading of the story, well, I'm glad you're laughing at it. It's a bit idealistic, and it runs the risk of legitimizing the subordinate and domestic roles that history has ascribed to women. I think we need to be honest about the difficulties within the story. Honest about its rootedness in a particular kind of society. A society very different from ours, for sure. But as we've been reminded recently, with media attention on sexual harassment in the workplace, the President's Club scandal, the Me Too campaign, the demands for equal pay, a society not without its gender inequality. Some of us might see in Simon's mother-in-law's experiences, echoes of our own. I noticed when the passage was being read a little bit of eye-rolling. To acknowledge the ways in which her story resonates with us can actually be liberating. In her, we might find sisterly company and solidarity in our own experiences of being treated as less than. Perhaps we might turn our attention to Simon's mother-in-law now, recognizing her as a person in her own right. When we do, all sorts of intriguing questions emerge. What would her feelings have been about Simon's call to discipleship? What impact might it have had on her family? Had Simon left her daughter to follow Jesus? What might her feelings have been towards the one who had issued this call? Was the real miracle her conversion to the one who was responsible for the breakup of her home? In Mark's depiction of Jesus' ministry, there is always a tension between the now and the not yet. Jesus is secretive about his identity. Indeed, sometimes there's a sense that his identity is dawning only gradually on him. The work of his ministry is overwhelming at times. He retreats at frequent intervals to escape the hungry crowds and to pray. Prayer replenishes him and helps to refocus his mission. As we heard in today's reading, he emerges from it with a fresh resolve and vocation. Ah, yes, this is what I came here to do. Amidst the suffering, the difficult expectations, the burden of his calling, the injustice and inequality written into the fabric of society, there are glimpses of the kingdom of God. Jesus goes to Simon's mother-in-law, takes her by the hand and raises her up. She is strengthened. Her well-being and dignity are restored. Here is a fleeting glimpse of God's dream for the earth, even if in the next moment her domestic chores and subservient role are resumed. It has been remarked that Jesus' raising up of Simon's mother-in-law is the first resurrection story in the Gospel. And in Mark's Gospel, whenever Jesus performs a healing, relationships are in some way restored. Outcasts are restored to community. Children are restored to their parents, and parents to their children. Another window into God's beautiful dream for the earth. The words of our reading from Isaiah proclaim God's care and love for the weary and powerless. It's a message of hope for all who are worn down. Have you not known? Have you not heard? He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What wonderful promises. Let's claim them for ourselves if we're feeling weak, wretched, or tired. Whatever the demands on our time and energy, let's make sure that we make time for retreat and prayer to replenish us and to hear again God's call on our lives. Let's ask God to open our eyes to all who are invisible, overlooked and ignored. Let's celebrate and give thanks for every fleeting glimpse we get of the kingdom of God. Let's take part in the work of justice, of challenging inequality, of casting out dark and destructive forces, bringing hope, dignity, and strength to the powerless. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. May this be so. I'd like to close by sharing a prayer written by Miriam Therese Winter. In here. It's called a mother-in-law's psalm. It's a praise song we might imagine on the lips of Simon's mother-in-law, a response to her transformative and healing encounter with Jesus. And it's a prayer for mother-in-laws everywhere. Let us pray. My God, you are with me always. My life is in your hands. When my child was pulled from the warmth of my womb, you were there to instruct and encourage, as midwife to my spirit, as wet nurse for my soul. When my child was pulled from my hearth and home by one who would claim her completely, you taught me how to graciously share that birth bond with another, then gave me my children's children to comfort my empty arms. I give thanks for your maternal presence, My heart overflows with joy. For my blessings indeed have multiplied, and my faith in you abides. Yet who can know your plan for us, or understand your ways? You call us, and we answer. No matter what the consequence, or the cost to the ones we love. Blessed are you who dares to promise a happy ever after. You heal our ills and calm the fears and fires that rage within us. Help us to faithfully follow you and to serve you without compromise every day of our mortal lives. All that you do is holy, and holy is your name. Amen.